Hey, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome. Okay, let's get this started, guys. Welcome to Ignite New Zealand. My name is Brian Farnhill, and this session is SharePoint deployment automation with PowerShell desired state configuration. So a little bit of background about me. I'm based in Canberra, Australia, where I'm working with Microsoft. I'm a senior premier field engineer. I spend a lot of time working with SharePoint and have over the past many, many moons. I'm spending a lot of time with PowerShell and DSC and all things automation related at the moment. And along with that, I enjoy jumping off bridges, the sound of my own voice, and playing Xbox. But enough about me. Let's get into the gist of what we're going to cover today. What I'm hoping to cover off in the next 60 minutes with you guys is going to be just a little bit of touch on some of the challenges when it comes to automation of SharePoint deployments and SharePoint infrastructure. I want to talk about what DSC is and how it helps address those challenges broadly, and then talk about the X SharePoint PowerShell module for DSC and sort of how that's come about, where that's at the moment, what it can do, and how you can then take that and leverage it using Azure as a platform to deploy your infrastructure as a service. So getting things started, I want to talk to some of the challenges of SharePoint automation. Now, drift. Not maybe necessarily in the context of a car winding sideways down a tract, but configuration drift. It's a relatively common issue amongst SharePoint deployments. We see an initial set of base deployment scripts get put together, and then over time, the environment will see a number of changes. These may or may not be getting captured in some sort of system, but ultimately, the problem that a lot of customers I see end up facing is where we write our build scripts, we deploy our farm, and we make changes over time. And then we see more changes and more changes. And these don't necessarily get fit back into those build scripts. Now, a lot of the time, and I don't know if this is different for any of you guys and the customers you have, then you'll see that your build scripts will end up forming part of your DR strategy, where you say, let's use the build scripts, build a new farm, and then from there, be able to go and restore our databases into it. Now, if you're in a scenario there where your build scripts don't have the most up-to-date set of changes based on the fact that you haven't been putting them back in, then you don't necessarily know that in that DR scenario you're going to get the same farm you had before you began. Also, along with that, if you're not testing those changes as well, even if you are capturing them back into your build scripts, I need to be rerunning them at some sort of regular interval to know that my build scripts will give me the environment I expect in the scenario that I do find myself needing to rebuild. So this concept of desired state configuration, it's been in PowerShell since version 4.0. And the way I like to explain it is with Bessie here. Treat your servers as cattle, not pets, is broadly the concept I like to use, where, you know, a pet, I'm going to be very hands-on with my pet. I love my pet, and I'll spend a lot of time with it. But my servers, I don't necessarily need to want to have to spend a lot of time one-on-one with each individual server I've got, particularly as we find SharePoint deployments are starting to grow a little bit larger, average number of servers have been going up year on year. I don't want to have to spend that hands-on time with each individual server. So what desired state configuration gives us is the ability to manage deployment and configuration of software and the operating system by defining just what we want it to look like, not how we want it to get there. I don't care what state it's in currently, I just want to tell PowerShell, here's what I want you to make it look like. So we can enforce from there a desired state and start to manage that concept of configuration drift, where if my desired state configuration is validating every 30 minutes that my SharePoint environment or any server environment looks like the configuration I handed it, any unauthorized change that's not made through that DSC configuration file will get rolled back 30 minutes later, meaning I start to maintain a very consistent managed state. And in the event that I do find myself needing to rebuild, I can just take my last known good configuration and use that and apply it to my farm. So that's where we start to get to this concept of configuration as code. I'll put source control over my desired state configuration files, much the same as a developer would over any of their individual files. So that way I have different versions of the configuration that exists in my environment whenever I need to make a change. So from the point of view of that problem I started with, what's the main thing I'm looking to address here? Prevents drift. So a show of hands, how many people have got SharePoint environments that have build scripts? And how many of you make changes to those environments and then roll it back into those build scripts? Yeah, that's pretty much the expected answer. No hands went up. So what we can do with the DSC here is we can define what that configuration state looks like and then just apply that to a new farm or an existing farm We can use it to make sure we apply consistent configuration between dev, test, and production. It starts to address a lot of automation scenarios for us. So when we start breaking down what DSC is, and I like to try to introduce DSC generally to SharePoint developers because it's not something we've necessarily had to come across beforehand, particularly if you're an IT pro that focuses just on SharePoint. DSC starts to provide us a separation of concerns where we start to look at the what, the where, and the how. The what becomes our actual DSC configuration. So this is where I say, I want this setting turned on, I want that service provisioned, this, and define what my server is going to look like. The where is what we refer to as our node data. This is where we can define things that are specific to an individual environment, such as server names, credentials, domain names, these sorts of things. So I can then take my DSC configuration from the what and apply that to multiple environments, but only have to vary that node data with the specific things to that individual environment. So that way I can use the same configuration over and over. The how component is delivered through a number of resources. So this is going to be the focus here. Now, when we run a PowerShell script that's defined a DSC configuration, what it does is it generates a MOF file. So MOF standing for Managed Object Framework. It's actually an open standard. It's not a Microsoft-specific thing. And it's not necessarily something that's new to the industry either. If you've been using Chef or Puppet, for example, you will more than likely have come across MOF files as being able to hand those off to your servers, both in the Windows stack and Linux. So PowerShell is just a tool that you can use to generate those MOF files to be able to hand it off to the local configuration manager. So PowerShell 4 ships with the version of the LCM, the local configuration manager, that runs as part of WMI. And within that process, your MOF file will be interpreted and the local server will begin to configure it as you've told it to do so. PowerShell 5 does have a few changes to the local configuration manager. I'll talk to some of those throughout the demos. But what I want to get started with is just a really quick just demonstration of some stuff that DSC can do just to, so you can get a feel for the concept before we talk about the SharePoint stuff specifically. All right, so what I've got here, if I flick across to my remote desktop, is I've got a server that is built on the Windows Server 2016 Technical Preview 3, and I just want to set it up as a really basic IIS server. I've done nothing to this box other than just provision it at this point in time. Now, if we go in and have a look here, I've got a configuration set up ready to go. Now, there are a few things that we're going to want to have a look at. So the very first line of this script is a configuration node. So this was added in PowerShell 4, and this is how we define a specific configuration that we'd like to apply to a server. Beneath that, you can see I'm importing DSC resources. Now, these are the resources that you can get with PowerShell and go and incorporate those into your scripts. There's about a dozen or so of them out of the box and a lot of custom ones available on GitHub, and we'll get to that. So here I'm using the out-of-the-box PS desired state configuration. So those are the dozen or so out-of-the-box ones. And I'm making use of X Web Administration, which is the DSC module that exists to allow you to configure IIS servers. So beneath that, you can see I'm specifying a node. In this case, localhost. I can specify a server name here, or I can also specify a formula of sorts in PowerShell there to specify include nodes based on a specific role that gets included in my node data. So if I want to configure multiple servers from one configuration and say any server that is identified as web server should get this configuration, I can start to perform complex setups like that. And then we start to get down into the guts of what we're actually doing here. So you can see each one of the configuration items is made up of two parts at the top. The first is the name of the resource, so Windows feature. This is telling it that I want to use the out-of-the-box Windows feature item, and I've given it a name that I can refer to it as here, so IIS and ASP.NET 4.5, IIS management. These are my own names for reference. It doesn't matter what I want to call these here. But there's a couple of important things to look at here in this regard. So the first thing is I give it the name of the feature I want to refer to, fairly self-explanatory. The second component, though, is this ensure equals present. So we have a concept of wanting to apply a desired state of configuration. Now, that desired state might be, I want to ensure that these Windows features are installed and these services are running. But it could also be, make sure that the following Windows features don't get installed. Make sure services are not running. And if you see them there, take them back out. So we can say ensure equals present or ensure equals absent and start to really define what we want to make sure our server looks like. So in this case, I've gone through and set up a little bit more of configuration. You can see I've got my website set up here. I'm specifying the file object to copy some files across into my website, and there from I'm setting up an actual website beneath that. So what I'm doing with the first one is I'm specifying the default site that I get with IIS, and I'm saying the state on that one should equal stopped, as in I want to stop the default website and then provision my own alongside of it. So what I've got at the bottom here, and I'm just going to start this running while I talk through the last part of this, is so you can see down here I say DSC demo web server. This was the name of my configuration. So once I've defined it as a configuration node, I can essentially treat it as a function in PowerShell. I can pass parameters to it, and these will then be passed into generate the MOF file. Beneath that is the option that actually goes and applies a configuration for us, the start DSC configuration. So the first command generates my MOF file. The second command hands it to the local configuration manager. And you can see what's happening down the bottom here is because I've got my verbose output turned on, that it's currently installing IIS because it's going through and performing a series of checks. So each DSC resource has three methods to it, a get method, a set method, and a test method. So what we're using here is the test and then the set. The test method will only ever return true or false to say, is the state of this object as it should be, yes or no? If the answer is no, we're going to run the set method. If not, we'll skip that and just continue on to the next object. So this is how we start to apply state, in that I don't care if IIS is, you know, what sort of state it's in, just make sure it's there. Is it, if it's there, that's great. If not, we'll go and apply it for you. So while that's starting to install IIS and get things done for me, what we're going to do is have a look at the MOF file. So here's what MOF looks like, Managed Object Framework. We get a few comments at the top to let us know when it was generated and where it came from, but we start to see these instances of the individual resources. So in this first case, you can see the IIS component that I specified. All the properties that I applied to it were in there. If I was using parameters in my configuration, they would have been substituted in at runtime here. So if this way, if I wanted to specify a URL, for example, that would be bound to the IIS website, I could pass in different URLs for a dev environment, a test environment, and production, so that when it generated the MOF file for that server, it would use the appropriate URL. Now, there's a number of things that we can do with these MOF files. There's also a couple of other things worth knowing around how they encrypt credentials, in that by default, it will not let you pass a plain text credential into the DSC configuration to store it in plain text. There is a flag you can set to allow that, but the default is to not. The strategies for this generally involve using a certificate that will encrypt the password component. And I'll give you an example of that in one of my SharePoint deployments in a little bit. But what we can see now is we're currently installing ASP.NET 4.5. Let's run a little quicker when I ran it earlier today. And so I'll see if I can get to... Oops. Actually, it hasn't got down there yet. We'll go from there. But the gist of this is at the end of this, what's going to happen is IIS is going to be installed. My management tools for IIS will be there. I will see my two websites and the files that were copied across into that website so that the server is then essentially ready for use. I could then take that same configuration and apply it to as many web servers as I needed to form a cluster of IIS servers. So we can start to get a bit of a feeling for how this kind of works. That one. So as I said, out of the box, PowerShell 4 gave us a dozen or so resources. You could do some limited things with these. You could play around with files, services, registry keys, that sort of stuff. But at the end of the day, you'd end up getting yourself into a scenario where you wanted to do some custom stuff to extend it pretty quickly. So the PowerShell team began work on what used to be known as the DSC Resource Toolkit, which used to ship out of TechNet at regular intervals. I think they got up to 11 or 12 before it got canned and replaced with GitHub. So if you now go to github.com/PowerShell, you'll find a series of all of the resources that are published by the PowerShell team. And there are hundreds of individual resources within probably a couple of dozen different modules that you can then download and install. Also, if you're using PowerShell 5, you don't even need to go directly to GitHub. PowerShell 5, you're able to use the get module commands, which were added to pull resources down from the PowerShell gallery. So the PowerShell team are publishing all of this stuff from GitHub into the gallery so you can directly pull it down to your servers with a single line of PowerShell, which makes it very easy to start using some of these custom resources. So when the thought of how do we do SharePoint stuff came about, that was when me and a buddy of mine got together and said, okay, well, why can't we do this for SharePoint? And we looked at what was involved in creating a custom resource that would let us do SharePoint configuration through DSC. So the idea began where all great Australian ideas began, in a pub over a beer. But we were talking about how we wanted to start addressing configuration drift, because it was a very common problem that we were both seeing amongst a lot of our customers, and we wanted to take advantage of what DSC brought in the way of a common approach to applying configuration. We didn't want to do something that was only going to service SharePoint. So the concept of DSC, which was an open approach across the entire Windows stack, made a lot of sense. So what we ended up coming out of that was the X SharePoint resource. Now, all of the custom resources that are not shipped out of the box as part of PowerShell, the guys of PowerShell team have started them with the letter X, so you know that they are a custom thing that came after the fact. That kind of naming convention stuck, and all of the custom ones that you'll see up on GitHub all start with the letter X. So X SharePoint is the name of the resource kit that we've put together, which will let you start doing some stuff for SharePoint. Now, the second point I want to highlight here is that it's a work in progress. This came out of a few PFEs getting together for a week and just saying, hey, let's figure this out and see what we can do. And it's a good starting point, but there's a long way to go. We've got a issues list on GitHub with all of the forward planning work we wanted to do, calling out things with help wanted tags, to try to extend this to cover more of SharePoint. Right now, the resources are very focused on the initial provisioning and don't necessarily reset the state of items that well. So it will help you do an initial deployment, and we're working on plugging some of that up to do some of the resetting of state. For example, if I create a web application and then go and manipulate the properties of that afterwards, like list view thresholds and that sort of stuff, I want to make sure that it's resetting those back. We've got a couple of pull requests in at the moment that will hopefully be able to get that specific scenario out pretty quickly. But it's worth calling out that it's right now not going to do every single little thing you want it to do. But it is a promising start and proved a lot of the concepts that we can use DSC to do SharePoint deployment. So we'll continue to work on this and push it forward. So what does it do? It will help you install your prerequisites and your binaries. It'll help you create a farm and then join servers into that farm. It'll do web applications with basic sets of settings, and it'll help you provision site collections. We're set up to do both standard site collections and hostname site collections as well. It'll let you create some of the most common service applications, not all of them yet. It does have an option for doing the user profile service, and it does do the user profile sync service, including substituting your account into the local admin group during the provisioning of that and then taking it back out afterwards. Again, a very common thing that we saw a lot of customers struggled with, so we built it into the components. So you don't need to give that account local admin rights. We will sort it out as part of the desired state. We also manage some generic farm-wide things like the logging settings, managed accounts, configuration details, that sort of stuff. So we're going to go through and I'll show you some of what we've got put together. But just a couple of basic examples to start with. So just getting SharePoint installed. We have two separate resources. The first one is XSP install prereqs, which is the prerequisite installer. So here, I've got a couple of different options. First one is I tell it where the binaries actually are. Where is prerequisite installer.exe? The second parameter is an online mode, and that's either true or false. Now, I can specify true and leave it at that, and what this will do is it'll let the prereq installer reach out to the internet to pull the components down like it normally does. If I specify false, I need to add a number of other parameters on there to specify the individual paths of all of the other prerequisites. Now, this is exactly the same as if you were calling prerequisite installer.exe from the command line and passing each of those individual executables in. So I've got a government customer in Canberra who's got a completely disconnected environment who don't have internet access. So when we applied this, we made sure that we had all of the prerequisites there for the servers to be able to install so that when I gave them a demo of this and just started randomly uninstalling bits and watching them freak out, they were quite happy to see that it went and put them all straight back on. Now, the second one there is XSP install, and this is where we're installing the binaries. Now, at the moment, the only parameter we're taking into this is a product key and the path to where setup.exe is located. So what we're doing is we're generating that XML config file that you can pass to setup.exe and just taking a very generic approach to that with the product key as the only option. We may later add additional configuration to that to count for some different scenarios, but for the time being, that's where we are. But that will get you SharePoint installed. The prereq installer is also smart enough, using the DSC framework, to flag when it needs to reboot a server. So DSC has the ability for a resource to say, I've finished doing what I'm doing, but you need to reboot and come back and check me again. So what happens there is the prerequisite installer will run, tell it it needs to reboot, run again, tell it it needs to reboot, and by the third time it's come around, the prerequisites are installed, and that test method will finally return a true. So this way we don't need to worry about where we need to reboot a server. We'll be able to handle that as part of the process. Now the next thing you'll want to look at is creating your farm. So XSP create farm, taking a few parameters into this, configuration database name, configuration database server, the passphrase, your farm account, the install account. I'll mention that in a moment, just explain that concept, and the name of the admin content database. We also last week added a property for specifying the port number for central admin as well, so you can customize that when we provision this out. There's also XSP join farm for getting a server to join a farm, and I'll talk about some multi-server configurations in a minute and just how they work. Worth calling out as well, for those of you who aren't familiar with DSC, this depends upon attribute. What we're able to do with desired state configuration is say, don't attempt to do this resource unless a specific resource or multiple resources before it have completed successfully. So in this case, I'm saying don't attempt to create a farm until you've installed all the binaries. And the binaries, I could say, don't install the binaries until the prerequisites have installed. And we start to build up this chain of a sequence to so when the local configuration manager gets the MOF file, it knows that there's a specific sequence things need to be run in to ensure a successful result. Now, I mentioned the install account option on that that farm one. Now, DSC, when you execute a configuration, runs by default as the local system account, which is great if you want to manipulate the local system. However, in SharePoint's case, we very rarely manipulate the local system directly. We're using the PowerShell commandlets to manipulate content in databases. This is why when we run the PowerShell commandlets, we need to run them as a specific domain user that has access to our SQL Server databases. So that was the reasoning behind us adding this install account flag to most of the SharePoint resources. What we're doing under the hood here is we're actually using credSSP and invoke command in PowerShell to let the local system account create a PowerShell session with that user's credentials. So this is going to be my setup account, right? The account that has access to my SQL servers, has my local admin access on everything in SharePoint, but it's not going to be my farm account, which is going to be the main system one. So there, it's worth calling out that PowerShell 5 does have a concept of a run as credential. We've been doing some exploration of that this week, trying to figure out if it's a suitable replacement, but we also want to maintain compatibility between both PowerShell 4 and PowerShell 5. So there may be some changes in that coming forward, but for the time being, the install account parameter is where we're focusing. So let's go and have a look at what a standard single server SharePoint environment looks like when we go and deploy it. So what I'm going to flick over to here is my single server SharePoint environment. Now, for those of you playing along at home, you may notice this is SharePoint Server 2016. We've made a number of changes to the installation and create farm objects to be able to account for both SharePoint 2013 and 2016. If you're looking at 2016 from the min role perspective, which was a new feature which allows you to define specific roles on servers, at the moment we're forcing every single DSC server out as a custom role. We are likely to add an extra attribute to let you define those roles and to go and use those, but we wanted to give the flexibility for both, and this was a really quick way to let us get some testing going on both 2016 and 2013. So you can use it with the current preview of 2016, which is available. So the farm itself, though, is just a typical SharePoint farm. I could click around and show you things and prove that it's not smoke and mirrors, but that's sort of less entertaining than having a look at how it came to be. So let's flick over to my single server SharePoint. All right, so here you see I've got my configuration of SharePoint server, and I've also got a lot of individual parameters that I'm passing into it. So I mentioned before that I could enter parameters into a configuration. So here you'll see things like my farm account, an install account, where is the database server, what do I want the passphrase to be, what do I want the URL of my primary web application, my sites, distributed caches size, domain name, domain admin credential, these sorts of things. These are all things that, in theory, would vary from environment to environment, right? I would not necessarily have the same setup in each of these. I've put all those in there because I test different values to make sure I'm getting the outcomes I'm looking to get. But you can set up as many of these as you need to do. Now, it's also worth looking at here my import DSC resources. I'm using X SharePoint, but I am also making use of things like the web administration one. I'm using the Cred SSP resource. This is important as this is going to let me configure the Cred SSP for my install account flag to be able to work. We're using X Disk as well because I'm provisioning servers with multiple disks and I want to assign drive letters to them so that later I can say, hey, SharePoint, go and put your ULS logs on a different disk. And I'm also using computer management in this case to join my computer to a domain. So some of the basic things I'm doing at the start, just the domain join, setting up my disks and my Cred SSP. I'm disabling the loopback check with a registry entry because it's a single server environment that I don't particularly want to have to deal with that. I'm cleaning up all the default stuff out of IIS because I have a certain level of OCD where I don't like those unused application pools and websites hanging around on my servers. So here you can see that ensure equals absent flag being put to good use. It will go through, it will detect that they are there, and it will remove them for me. And if somebody tries to create something else called default website, it will then be removed after the fact as well. And then we get down into the interesting stuff. So you'll notice in my setup here, I'm not using my install parameters. What I've got for my test labs is sysprepped images that have the binaries already installed. We do some separate testing of those install functions to make sure that they work, but I'm cutting straight to the create farm option. So I'm specifying my parameters there. Then I'm moving down into things like managed accounts and specifying those. I have the ability to specify a schedule for automatic password reset. So if I set that in my desired state and somebody turns off automatic password reset in central admin, DSC will reestablish that schedule for me and make sure that that stays enforced. We go down into diagnostic logging settings. So you can see I'm moving my logs to the L drive and I'm setting a bunch of the other properties on how we want to go and do that. The usage application, state service, distributed cache. Worth calling out, it's a little hit and miss at the moment. Anyone who's had to fight with distributed cache will understand that it's not the most straightforward bit of our software. We do it so that it will provision the firewall rules, so that if you have multiple distributed cache servers, we will set up the firewall for you. There's a couple of scenarios where we found that it does fail where multiple servers are involved that we're working on patching up at the moment. But then I get down into my web applications. And so I've got that set up. I specify a default content database name. I get down to some managed paths, and I define those. I set my cache accounts, my super user and my super reader accounts for that web application. Then we move down into the service instances. So which services do I want to run on this specific server? Now, again, I've got the ability to use ensure equals present and ensure equals absent to define which services should run and which should not. So if anyone wants to start turning services on where they shouldn't be, the DSC can shut them back down for me. So there's a number of those XP service instance with our separate one for the XP user profile service instance because it's able to go and manipulate the local administration group to add the farm account in there for you. So that way you don't need to worry about that during a patching process. So if you apply a cumulative update and we stop the user profile service for you there, your DSC will see that it's stopped, will restart it, and will manage that process for you of putting the user in the admin group, provisioning it out, and then letting it go. And then we get down into the individual service apps. So I create a service application pool for them all to be able to execute within. And then I define a user profile service with the appropriate parameters there for database names, my site host URL, secure store, manage metadata, search. We do have another pull request in at the moment for managing search topology. We've got a little bit of some rough edges on that at the moment that we're working on, but it'll be one of the next major pieces that we put into this so you can, again, enforce a topology for your searches. And then BCS, down to some site collections. And the last bit we've got down here is local configuration manager. So this is another DSC-specific component where I can set properties for the local configuration manager. In this case, I'm specifically saying it's okay for you to reboot when needed, in which case it will automatically do a reboot, such as during the prerequisite installer. If you set that to false, which for a day-to-day production server, you might decide, yes, I want it to be false so I can control when a reboot occurs, the DSC will run up to that point where it has to restart and wait for you to manually reboot before it continues. So you don't necessarily have to feel like servers will reboot at random if that's not what you're comfortable with. But the net result of that in my 2016 environment, you know, if I go through and have a look at the services running on this server and go and match each of these individual service instances up, they all map out to what was provisioned in my environment. Service applications are all the same in there. So I get the ability to get in and do some of that sort of stuff. Now, the way the MOF file comes out, and let me just open this one for you. So I actually get two MOF files. I get localhost.mof, localhost.meta.mof. Right, so the meta mof file is used to hand to the local configuration manager and say, here are the settings for the LCM. This is that reboot if needed setting. There are a number of other settings you can push to the LCM, but that was the only one important to me. The localhost mof file is the main one. And you'll see if I open that up, the very first thing I'm looking at here is a credential object. And password is a gigantic encrypted blob with my password, my username beneath it. So both on-prem and in Azure, this is how we manage credentials. We use certificates to encrypt them, and one of the properties that gets applied to the LCM is the thumbprint of the certificate that should be used to decrypt a credential. So in this way, we can securely hand MOF files around, and only servers that we trust with that certificate will be able to decrypt the credentials. This also means that you only need to know the usernames and passwords when you're making changes to the configuration, i.e. when you need to regenerate that MOF file. Okay, so a single server environment, you know, moderately useful for proof of concept and that sort of stuff, but more often than not, we're building SharePoint farms with multiple servers. DSC sort of plays out really well to how we want to do SharePoint architecture in that I'm going to define different logical layers within my farm. I'm going to have front-end servers. I'll have app servers. I might have search servers, dedicated distributed cache servers, whatever it is that you decide you need for your specific topology. So we can define individual configurations for each layer and from there be able to go and just reapply them so that if I need a new front-end server, I might just say, you know what, I'll delete the one that's having issues, provision a new one, apply the configuration, and off we go, knowing that it will look exactly the same as all of the other servers that were provisioned before it. But there are a few things that come up that we need to address differently here. And I like to sort of explain this as the difference between a logical component in our SharePoint configurations and a physical component. And the best example I can give with this is that a SharePoint web application, for all intents and purposes, is a logical component in a SharePoint farm. The IIS website that SharePoint provisions for you is the physical component. So here in that, if I were to define my SharePoint web application as part of my front-end server role, for example, say that I've then got four front-end servers, I'm then having all four of them checking for the existence of this web application and potentially trying to create it at the same time or edit it at the same time. Whereas something that is a logical component within the farm that SharePoint handles the provisioning of something physical at the other end, I really only want to check that in one spot. I want to provision a web application once, a service application once. The service instances will run on each individual server and they map out to something that runs on one box. But if it's not something that runs on one server specifically, we need to keep that out of those general configurations. So, at that point, if we start to look at a standard approach to, say, I've got three different layers here and I've got three different configuration files, my front-end servers, my search servers, and my app servers, I need somewhere that I can go and execute those one-offs from. And that's where we introduce the concept of what I've called the farm server configuration. And the complete lack of originality in that name is why I'm not in marketing. But this server is where we're going to execute things like create the web application. I might still use something like XWeb Administration to do IIS bindings on the front-end servers, but the logical SP web application object, we want to provision that once. This also gives us a second place to manage the sequence of creating the farm in that I want to run that create farm object on the first farm server, but every other server in the farm will then use the join farm object, which then behaves a little bit differently. So the number of configurations we're going to end up with in any farm topology is always essentially n plus 1, with n being the number of layers I have, plus 1 for your farm configuration, unless you're down to a single server, in which case you do it with 1. So let me give you a little bit of an example and a bit of a walkthrough on how some of this actually looks like when you've got multiple server configurations. All right, so flicking over to my small farm. So here you see SharePoint 2013. So this is an environment I provisioned out yesterday. And if I come and have a look at the servers on the farm here, you'll notice I've got just two app servers and two front-end servers. So this means I've got three configurations for this specific environment. Now, apparently my app pool has gone to sleep since I last loaded this page. So while that loads, let's go over to Visual Studio again. Go down to my SharePoint farm. And what you'll see here is I have an app server configuration, a farm server configuration, and a web front-end configuration. Now, for all intents and purposes, they are fairly similar. So here's my front-end one. Now, you'll notice straight away, I've got the join farm object inside of this one as opposed to creating a farm. So I just point it at a specific configuration database and database server. I don't need to give it a central admin port. I don't need to give it the admin content database name like the create one does. This will literally just execute the command to join the join that farm. In this case, I'm using distributed cache on my front end servers, so I'm specifying that that should run there. If you go back and have a look at my app server, I'm doing things differently. I'm joining the farm, but I'm not specifying that I want distributed cache run there. So I can start to define what an individual topology looks like in my different configurations. The majority of this is going to boil down to those service instances at this point in time for what we're supporting in X SharePoint. So you can see on my app server, I've got claims to Windows token, I've got the user profile service, and not much else. If I go to my main farm server, this is where the big configuration takes place, where I'm doing all of those farm-wide things like the logging settings, the service apps, that sort of stuff. The front end, again, it's got a few more service instances, but again, not much else, because that main farm server is where the majority of that logical configuration is going to get pushed out from. But once we've got that all set up and the initial provisioning is done, which can take quite a while, as a SharePoint build script is prone to do, after that, it will just go through and test and test and test and hopefully not have to do a whole lot of sets in an individual go. So setting a configuration to execute every 30 minutes, and the scheduling on that is, again, one of the properties that you can pass to the local configuration for how often it's going to check. It'll then be able to go and run every half hour, do all the tests and make sure everything's in place. Worth knowing as well, one of the other things I can set on that local configuration manager is a mode for it to run in. Do I want it to just check or do I want it to check and fix? So if you're not comfortable with DSC going and making changes directly to your environment, you can have it collect that information and report on it. In an on-prem environment, you can use a pull server to publish the configurations out, but also collect data back on the compliance state of individual nodes. We've also got a similar concept being built into the Azure Automation Service at the moment with the support there for desired state configuration, where you'll have reporting back of servers from both on-prem and Azure and their current configuration state, and you get some really pretty dashboards out of that to let you know what your current state looks like. So, but essentially from there, those four, we're able to take those four configurations and go and run them. Generally speaking, I'm going to look at running the farm configuration file first and make sure that it completes, or at least at a minimum, gets past that initial create farm before I let the other ones run and then join the farm. One of the things that was added in PowerShell 5, though, that I unfortunately haven't had a chance to build into this yet, is a couple of new resource types, and it's the first three on this list here. Wait for all, wait for any, wait for some. So here I have something that's built into PowerShell 5, so if you're looking at the preview of that, I can say wait for all of these resources from a specific server. So in this case, I would say wait for create farm from the first server before going on to the second server here to do the join farm. So this way I can tell the DSC to start at the same time on all of my servers, but they will wait and pause as appropriate for dependencies that are on other servers. So this works out really well on a SharePoint topology, and I can see it being worthwhile. So those of you that aren't looking at PowerShell 5 at the moment, yes, it is still in preview, but worth having a look at what it's going to take when PowerShell 5 does hit RTM to get that installed on your SharePoint servers if you're going to be using DSC. There's some benefits to the configuration approaches there. All right, so the last thing I wanted to take you through really quickly is what this looks like in Azure using virtual machines in our IaaS platform. So one of the things we have is an extension for virtual machines that allows you to specify a desired state configuration for an individual VM. So I can provision a VM, add this extension, and then tell it to go and apply the configuration to that VM without necessarily having to log onto it directly. So this makes a lot of sense when you start looking at things like Resource Manager and doing automated deployment of a VM, in that it can deploy the VM and then set it up as I need it to based on the configurations I'm applying. So for example, my test environments for X SharePoint, I have a number of different environments that all provision out a domain controller, a SQL server, and a SharePoint servers. Without me having to interact with any of those boxes directly throughout the process, I just have a look at the log files at the end to determine what worked and what failed. So first one sets up a domain controller, sets up my service accounts and that sort of stuff. My SQL account provisions out, sets sysadmin rights for my installer, and then I move into SharePoint. And this is all done through this extension. Now, the way it works is we specify a specific configuration we'd like to publish, and the PowerShell commandlets will put it into a zip file and automatically include any dependent modules, so such as X SharePoint, X Web Administration, it will put them in that zip file for me. meaning I don't need to worry about deploying those custom resources onto each server as I provision the service. Again, making it really easy to start using some of this. So let's have a look at what that actually looks like. So the zip files themselves, let me just pull this apart here. I've got one that I created earlier, so this is my single server SharePoint 2016 one. I'm just going to extract it. And what you see inside of it is my SharePoint PS1 as well as all of those modules that are there. So it automatically looks for that import DSC resource statement and includes the resources for you from your local machine. You don't need to tell it where they are or anything like that at all. It will find them and bring them in for you. Under the most recent update to the PowerShell commandlets, there's also the ability to specify just custom files to include in that that aren't PowerShell modules. So if you want to take some additional files that you need for your configuration, you can include them in that zip file and have the extension put them wherever they need to on the server for you. So to actually use this, though, the one downside to it at the moment is that there is not a lot of UI for this. So at the moment, you find yourself, if you want to configure the DSC extension, either doing it directly through PowerShell or through doing it in a resource manager template, such as here's one I prepared earlier somewhere. Let's go just open it again. So if you're using the most up-to-date Azure SDK, you'll get this neat JSON outline inside of Visual Studio. And I go down to resources. So this is one of my four server farms. This one at the bottom here, you'll see is my DSC extension. So I'm specifying a version of the extension to load. I've been testing with 2.2. We recently launched 2.4 this week, I think it was, 2.3 before that. What the extension does is it will go to the VM. It will begin by installing a WMF version. So depending on which version of the extension you install, you'll get a different preview build of WMF5. So for PowerShell 5 and the features that you've got in there. Any of the 1.x version numbers are still based on PowerShell 4, I believe. So the other thing I'm doing here is a few things. I've got the URL to my modules. So in this case, after I've published that zip file, I can specify where it goes to be able to download that. The other part of that is what's called the SAS token. So we use an ad hoc SAS token to be able to pull out those zip files to the extension. If you're using a resource manager template like this, like I am, I'm passing that SAS token in after generating one as part of my own deployment script. If you just use the PowerShell commands to install that extension, it will generate a SAS token for you. Trick for new players on that one is that SAS token will have a 1-hour expiry, which means by the time you start to get to your second and third servers in the farm in an initial provisioning scenario, you may find it timing out on you. So you may be better off taking an approach where you can provide your own SAS token. I set mine to expire for 12 hours. But here you can see I'm passing all of these parameters in, such as my credentials, the CredSSP stuff. We're able to do things like concatenate strings together. But also worth noting, I've got this properties section and a protected settings section. So here is where I want to specify things like passwords so that, oops, let me scroll back up there. Instead of specifying a password in here, you can see private settings ref and then the name of a variable. So what this does is it makes sure that, A, anywhere inside of the Azure PowerShell commandlets, it will not spit those protected settings back out. It is impossible to retrieve that and find out what a password was. The second thing is it also tells the extension that it needs to encrypt those values. So that was why you saw that the passwords were encrypted in my specific setup there before. Now, if I go back to that, just to show you a few of the things that are involved in this extension, if you go to, there's under C drive, Windows Azure, logs, plugins, DSC, and then your version number, this is where all the logging gets spat out to. So everything about that verbose logging that you saw in my DSC 101 example gets spat out into a text file here. So if I open my last one, for example, lots and lots of text, lots of verbose stuff, but we'll go down towards the bottom. So what we can see in here is I can see we're starting a test method on one of my managed paths there, and the time of that, and the any of the verbose output from the modules comes in here. So when you're in a troubleshooting scenario, these logs are invaluable for being able to figure out what's going on. We are trying to be quite verbose in our logging on the DSC resources for SharePoint at the moment because things are still quite in a development stage. And so if you need to rip these logs apart, you can get a good feeling for what's going on under the hood. If you need to go and trigger another rerun of this, though, so if you go to C drive, then packages, plugins, and DSC, There's a folder in here called bin, which has a script called enable.ps1. So if I were to execute that at the moment, it would then go through and apply the configuration again for me, including reapplying the meta configuration, which will specify the certificate thumbprint. So Azure handles that whole certificate and encryption for me. I don't need to get involved in any of that. And the last part, if you need to see it as well, under the settings folder under that same directory, I see 0.settings. Here are all the parameters from the extension. So down towards the bottom, you can see the actual unencrypted settings that have been passed in, my URLs and that sort of stuff. Up the top, though, I just see a thumbprint and then just a gigantic blob which makes up all of the individual protected settings so that, again, they're never stored in plain text anywhere. This means that I can be quite secure about passing my credentials up. They don't get stored in plain text while in blob storage or while on the server. And the certificate is used within the VM, not within the portal, to be able to decrypt that and go and execute my configurations for me. Cool. So, in wrapping up on some of that, I just wanted to call out some things for you guys to be able to go and have a look at. So we talked about some of the problems with automation and how DSC can help us address particularly that configuration drift issue. It is a very common one. We know that a lot of customers find that happens with SharePoint environments. We saw a little bit of an introduction to DSC and how that worked with the basic website and being able to go and do that. We talked about ex-SharePoint and what it does currently at the moment and looked at some basic examples. We saw that it supports SharePoint 2016's preview and lets you get started with a basic configuration inside of SharePoint. And then lastly, we looked at the DSC extension inside of Azure and how you can use that to further creating test environments or multiple environments inside of Azure and use the DSC extension that way. So my call to action for you guys to take from this, and hopefully I've sparked some interest in getting involved in DSC and SharePoint, is go and check us out on GitHub. So the entire DSC resource kit for both the SharePoint and all of the other ones that the team publish are all at github.com/PowerShell. So if you go and look up ex-SharePoint there or any of the other resources, there are a lot of them there. Go and have a look and see what's involved. If anyone finds some spare time and wants to write some PowerShell, we're accepting pull requests. So if you want to get involved with some of this and help further it, if you've got a specific scenario that you say, hey, gee, I really wish that SharePoint resource supported it, we'd love to be able to take input from the community. We've got a few community members involved at the moment who are already sending us pull requests, and we're working through testing those, validating them, and getting them rolled out, so that you can contribute to what goes into the PowerShell Gallery's version of the ex-SharePoint DSC resources. Go and have a look at Azure to just have a play around with this, though. It's a really easy place to get started with some of this stuff. I can create the virtual machines and then just go and play around with those DSC configurations. I can do it with or without the extension, depending on what your particular preference is, and I can start exploring it. If you want to go and use the SharePoint 2016 preview that's there at the moment, there's a template for that to be able to create a VM with that installed, and then you can go and use the DSC resources to configure that. So you can start to get some real hands-on experience with using DSC and the new version of SharePoint while it's in preview. And lastly, just go back and have a look at your own automation strategies to see where you think DSC fits. And I'm not talking about just SharePoint. I'm talking broadly within your organization. If you've got the ability to start looking at using DSC to make some quick wins, start exploring some of that, getting your head around how the DSC stuff works. We're going to use PowerShell to make it quite straightforward to be able to write these and looking at improving that automation and preventing configuration drift. So on that note, a couple of other sessions that are going to be worth looking at. So there's a DevOps session, which was on earlier today, if you want to catch the recording of that, around the future of deployments in DSC. There was a session from Elaine that was on this morning, so again, another one that you can catch the recording of around what's coming in SharePoint 2016. Again, if you want to pair that up with looking at the DSC resources and having a go at doing some deployments there, that'll get you started on some of the new features and where to look. And lastly, avoiding the on-prem SharePoint train wreck, just for good entertaining SharePoint content, I'm sure. But again, the focus with the DSC stuff was we didn't want to make it cloud-only. We wanted to talk about strategies for on-prem, and configuration drift is one of the things that will hurt you on-prem, so we want to make sure we captured that as well. Resources, all the generic stuff, TechNet, MSDM Flash, Virtual Academy, Channel 9, the video for this session will end up there, and you'll be able to watch it again later. But outside of that, please submit your feedback. We'd love to get the evals. It's how we work on these sessions to be able to improve them and make them more relevant for you guys. But after that, I'm out of slides at this point, so who's got questions? Down the back there. Yeah. So the question was, on GitHub, are there examples that we can be able to have a look at these for these configurations? The answer is yes. So let me just pull this up now, and I will demonstrate. GitHub.com, PowerShell, SharePoint. So within our GitHub library, and you'll get this if you even install it through the PowerShell gallery, we actually package the examples up with the final package so that you'll get it no matter how. But there is a folder in here called examples, and we publish both a single server configuration example, which, again, is very similar to the one that I demonstrated today, but it also includes the prerequisite installer, for example, and the binary installer, so you can get a look for that, as well as the a similar one for the small server, so that four server setup that I demonstrated. Again, you've got the app server, your first server, and the WFE. So they're included in every package, no matter where you get it from, be it GitHub or the PowerShell gallery. Any other questions? Yep. Okay. So the question was, how do I think this compares to AutoSP installer from CodePlex? So I've had many a conversation with Brian LeLancet over this. He was the owner of AutoSP installer. He's very keen to see where this goes. At the moment, he is absolutely more feature complete, right? So he's got more options in there. At the end of the day, though, the AutoSP installer stuff does, to an extent, suffer from that same configuration drift problem, in that if you're not keeping the configuration file, that XML file, up to date, and retesting your deployments, you might not necessarily solve that configuration drift issue. So AutoSP installer is still absolutely a valid approach to going and doing your deployments. I know Brian made some changes recently to support the 2016 preview as well, but he's keen to be able to see where this goes and put some input into this as well. I don't necessarily want to say that one's going to kill the other or anything like that, because we're collaborating. It's what SharePoint people do. But no, they're two separate approaches to essentially solve different problems at the moment. Yep, so the question was, what if you've already got a SharePoint environment deployed? Can I configure the DSC stuff to go in over the top of that without building from scratch? Absolutely. So one of the major environments I've been testing this with a customer environment at the moment was they brought Microsoft in to do the deployment probably about 18, 24 months ago, well before this even existed. So what we're doing is we're looking at the current state of the farm, resource by resource, and we're applying those configurations in as we go to build that back up and maintain that configuration. So at the moment, what we're doing for them from a restoration standpoint is they still have their build scripts, but what we're doing is we're applying the DSC after the build scripts are run, and that's how we're bringing the environment back to a known current state. The goal is absolutely to be able to ditch those initial build scripts and rely on just the DSC, but there's nothing stopping you from putting this onto an existing environment at all. It'll just go and change the settings as it sees them back to whatever you define. Cool. All right, well, if anyone's got any other questions or you want to come up and have a chat, I'll be hanging around here for another few minutes. I'll be at the Hub happy hours as well for the next couple of days. Feel free to look me up on GitHub or on my blog there and send me emails. More than happy to take questions on this sort of stuff. Hopefully it's been an interesting 60 minutes for you guys, and enjoy the rest of Ignite. Thank you.